Hi, everybody. My name is Josh Nason, and this is the grand finale of the Pro Wrestling Year in Review series here on Josh Nason's Punch Out. We are here, and I got it in right after the first of the year. No waiting, no BS, no nothing. The series is done on January 2nd. As you're listening to this, Paul Fontaine of this very website and also Fight Game Media is stopping by for the first time. We do not do our year in review series for MMA. We talk more about that on the show. And obviously everything happened December. You might be thinking, hey, December just ended. I know everything that happened. I bet there's some stuff you forgot. There's some stuff Paul didn't even realize happened during the month. So we go through everything in WWE, AEW, TNA, Japan, the junk drawer, everything in between. There's all kinds of stuff, including, of course, the return of Saturday night's main event, the push towards WWE on Netflix, AEW World's End, Ring of Honor Final Battle, TNA Final Resolution, all types of finals, the build to Wrestle Dynasty, the build to Wrestle Kingdom, and some fortunate deaths and so on. All kinds of stuff in this episode. So a great way to end the 12-part year in review series here on WrestlingObservers.com. So before I cannot talk, let's get right to it. Myself, Paul Fontaine, the month of December 2024, the finale of the year in review series. Let's go. We knew it was going to happen, the final episode of the year interview series here at Josh Nason's Punch Out. 12 episodes. This is number 12. Every single month is covered. We now arrive, of course, in December as we record this on the morning of Thursday, January 2nd. And I say we. I am joined by not by a returning guest, but a first time in this series, someone that I have talked to repeatedly on this podcast, but not yet so far. We'll explain that in a minute. Paul Fontaine of this very website and also for Fight Game Media and so on and so forth, does the Dynamite recap shows and rings for us and, you know, from MMA coverage and all those good things. Paul Fontaine making his debut in the Pro Wrestling Year Interview Series. Paul, welcome, and welcome to a similar format, just a different sport, so to speak.
Yeah, looking forward to this. I think what you do every year is great. It's a nice little time capsule. And when I hear the shows, I'm always like, yeah, even though I've always done the MMA ones with you, I'm really looking forward to diving into some pro wrestling, because really that's more of what I do these days in terms of podcasting and even writing. Mm. So, yeah.
We should explain. So, yeah, we did not do a year interview series for MMA this year. And the reason was all me because, and I've mentioned on this show and actually in some of our conversations before, since 2020, my fandom has just kind of, you know, trickled down a little bit more every year. And just, you know, that connection point. I've heard this from other fans too, that there's kind of a shelf life that a lot of fans have. And eventually, you know, especially in MMA, just sheds older fans off, and especially the more shows, more fires you have to keep track of. It just doesn't, it's hard to kind of really keep into it. I remember back in the heyday of MMA, the heyday of, like, you know, the big, the post-Tough boom. After, you know, year one or so, they started adding more shows. I had friends of mine, they're like, I can't keep up. And this was like at maybe 20 shows a year, maybe 15, something like that. It wasn't that many. I'm like, really? You can't keep up? And now, you know, we're more than 42, 43, something like that. You were mentioning before, they're looking to add more shows for 2025. It's just too much for me to care about. And, you know, I'll drop in from time to time things, but it's just, it just doesn't do it for me anymore. And that's why that series has officially come to an end.
Yeah. And you know, in that sense, it's too bad, but it is ironic because what you're saying is right. And I, you know, I kind of feel that way too. Sometimes I still watch all the shows, but I'm not as tuned in as I have been. And if I stopped watching, I almost feel like at this point it would be like a relief. But the funny thing is it's, in some ways it's bigger than it's ever been, but yet it's hard to find people that actually follow it. But yet people do, because, you know, these shows are selling out every month, every, you know, a couple times a month now, cause they're touring more. And you know, lots of people watching on TV, like way more people watch UFC than AEW, for instance. But like based on what we see at Wrestling Observer, you would think 10 times more people watch AEW. It's just splintered the audiences, that's all. And and that's it, because no human being on earth, even Dave Meltzer, has time to keep up with all the wrestling and all the MMA. Like, there's just it's impossible. So you have to choose at some point, and that's kind of what a lot of people are doing. And I still watch all the UFC, but I don't watch any PFL or Bellator. I don't watch KSW, Ryzen. Like, I'd love to watch that stuff, but I just don't have the time. And I watch a lot of wrestling, as we'll get into, because all the stuff we're going to talk about, I'm very, very up on it. Like, I watch all the WWE, New Japan, AEW, TNA. So I'm pretty well versed. But then again, even that, like, it's like, oh, well, I don't have time for Stardom, so some people don't think I'm a real fan. It's like, come on.
There's only so much time in a day, and there are people, including myself and many others. It's fun to not watch wrestling. You know what I mean? I mean, to keep up with the stuff like that, but it makes it entertainment in any form should not be a chore to get through, right? I mean, there's a re
December 31st, I didn't watch any wrestling. I watched
good.
three movies. I didn't watch a single wrestling match. I think it was the first day in 2 months that I didn't watch any wrestling.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, I mean, that's,
Insane. It's
yeah,
insane.
it's good to get away from it and take in other entertainment. Like, it's just, it's and it just helps make of it. It's part of your media diet and not necessarily your only thing. And some people, there's gonna be people out there, no matter what, that is gonna be X is gonna be their thing. You know, it could be football, it could be baseball, it could be Disney movies, could be whatever, right? But for a lot, it's nice to have it be part of it and not the main things. That way you watch it feels fresh, and there are certain things you may want to talk about more often and so on. But yeah, it's good. That and that's the thing with MMA. I mean, it's like UFC shows it 6 hours per every single weekend. And it is a grind, and you add like contender series and all the machinations and all those things. It's a lot.
I'm a sicko. I watch The Ultimate Fighter. I watch Contender Series. I do watch that stuff, because it's good. Like, I enjoy it. I don't watch it because I have to cover it. I do watch UFC now at this point more just because I'm a fan. I am a reporter. I get credentialed to events. My tweets are on the screen on the ESPN shows and all that. So I kind of feel almost like an obligation in that sense. But I don't even watch, other than the pay-per-views, I don't watch them live. So you'll only see my tweets on the pay-per-views, because I'm not watching I do watch the weekly shows, every single fight, but I'm not watching them live, because you can get through a 6 hour show in like 2.5 hours if you skip everything but the fights. So yeah.
All right. Well, we'll get our coffee talk out of the way and get some different type of coffee talk. We'll talk about the month of December, even though it just passed by a couple days ago. Still a lot happened, and of course we'll feel the effects of a lot of these things throughout 2025. We'll start out with WWE slash NXT, and of course the month had no pay-per-views, no PLEs rather, but it did feature the return of Saturday night's main event for the first time in a long time, and Jesse Ventura returned for this show. The Winged Belt returned for this show, part of a storyline with Kevin Owens and Cody Rhodes that's still going on now. It'll last through the Royal Rumble. Pat McAfee made a surprise appearance. When it came to in-ring, Chelsea Green was crowned the first ever Women's United States Champion. Kevin Owens piledrive Cody Rhodes after Cody Rhodes successfully defended the Undisputed Universal title, whatever they're calling it now, against him in the main event, and then confronted Triple H. This happening all off-screen, caught on social media and cell phones and things like that. The return overall, this had some discussion, drawing 1.59 million viewers on NBC. Of course, I think it was estimated around 700,000 on Peacock or so. So it wasn't like a huge all these fans that these casual fans that can be collected and we just think are floating out there. Not necessarily the case when it came to broadcast TV. And the next one already confirmed for a week before the Royal Rumble in San Antonio. So coming up in just 3 weeks, 4 weeks time, give or take from now. But yeah, I mean, they really pushed hard on the nostalgia aspect. They really leaned into it from the entrances to, again, Ventura, the Winged Belt. There was no Hulk Hogan on this show. I wouldn't be surprised. I think as many are, he'll make an appearance at some point. He is under contract with the company. It was like a 5-year deal they announced earlier this year. But yeah, it was a 2-hour show on a Saturday, and when head to head with Collision for whatever that's worth these days. But yeah, it was another 2 hours of WWE, and I'm really interested to see after the nostalgic kick ends, which I think usually that's good for one show, and then it kind of dissipates. You're gonna have weeks with 3 hours of Raw, 2 hours of NXT for those people to watch that, 3 hours of SmackDown, 2 hours of Saturday Night's Main Event, and then you're gonna have, a PLE coming up the week after. That's a lot without a PLE in a given week. And I wonder. I think Punk will be part of the second one, the Bloodline, everyone that kind of wasn't part of this first one in some form. It's great they have it. They're getting paid for it. It's just, I think it's going to be something that, just like a Battle of the Belts or, whatever, it's going to exist. And I think over time, we're going to reach this point. And I think we kind of have, where there's such thing as too much WWE, even for the sickos of that sport.
Yeah, I was I would say I was mildly surprised at the rating. I was expecting it, especially the 18 to 49. I thought, because that one was actually lower than what SmackDown and Raw does. I think it was like a 0.41 or 0.42, and and normally like us and SmackDown when it was on Fox was up usually over 0.5 and over 2 million viewers. So this is quite a bit down from Fox, but it was also on a Saturday. And I think there wasn't any football competition that day, so that helped. But I think they went up against the Heisman Awards, which topped cable. So, like there are mitigating circumstances. And then, of course, that 700,000 on Peacock, we don't really know what that translates. I think most experts would say you could probably take about half of that would be the equivalent of what it would be on TV. So we're probably talking just under 2 million if there was no Peacock. So, that's sounds a little bit better. And probably more of those people watching on Peacock were in that 18 to 49 demo would be my guess. So, that rating might have come up, closer to that 0.5 as well. So I kind of agree with you that over time, and this has happened before with WWE, they start these new shows off. You might remember Main Event when it first started on WGN. They loaded that up. And yeah, and then within a month, it was R-Truth against Dolph Ziggler, and I don't expect that that's going to be what happens here, but I would be shocked if even as soon as the next one, if they're being promoted like a PLE, like this show was. I think it's going to be more like there's going to be matches to set up the PLE matches. So, you may have, if Cody and KO is the main event, you might get a tag team match involving Cody and KO on Saturday night's main event. So yeah, like something like that. Or you get a tune-up match for KO, with your undercard baby face, like just under the level of Cody or something like that. That's kind of what I'm expecting. But I don't think they want to waste big matches on shows that probably not a lot of people are going to watch. And that's the thing. Like if this had come in with like 3 million people and a 0.6, hey, then maybe we got something. And I even saw a talk that, if this did a really good number, maybe they could talk about moving like a Mania at some point to NBC. And would NBC pay for that? And what kind of viewership would they get? I think this number kind of diffuses that talk right away.
Yeah, I would say
So
so.
yeah, but overall it was an easy show to watch. The highlight for me was Jesse Ventura. I thought he basically in the way he called that main event, he schooled these new guys, on how a heel should commentate, because he got you invested in that. And he like if you're a fan of Cody, you're mad at him, and not at Cody, but at Jesse. And if you're kind of on the fence and, hey, Jesse's got a point. And I thought back to myself when I was, a teenager watching Jesse call Hulk Hogan matches, and I was churning on Hulk because Jesse was pointing out stuff that was really happening. But that was me, like, 'cause I was inclined to do that. So if you're inclined to not want to cheer the white meat baby face, then Jesse's got a point. And so like for me, it was like he was getting over the story of the match. And getting people behind KO too, because at some point KO is going to turn heel or a babyface again, and then he can, like he'll have fans behind him. So yeah, I really enjoyed it as a 2 hour show standalone. But if it didn't exist, I would be fine with that too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think the next one will be pretty loaded up, and it'll be kind of fascinating to see over the four they have over the course of a year, how those developed, to your point. When does it start to take the turn from the The shine's off the rose. Shines up. Actually, a rose can't be shiny. Whatever you call it, the bloom's off the
Bloom,
rose. Yes,
bloom,
the
yeah.
bloom's off the rose. The Matt Bloom is off the rose. Let's and also other TV news, of course, this month, big push to net the Netflix transition and so on. And Nick Khan revealing that WB content will remain quote unquote family friendly on Netflix. There were some questions about that. We had started having a building of a card. PLE worthy card for sure. Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa for a tribal combat match. They unveiled the new logo for Raw and Netflix. Not that much of a difference. It's just always just
Yeah.
a variation of red and some font change. Liv Morgan is Rhea Ripley for the women's title in a last woman standing match. CM Punk versus Seth Rollins. It was revealed that the company was going to move the show back to 3 hours after about what 3 months or so of moving back to 2 hours. Punk appeared in the NFL's. NFL pregame coverage on Netflix on Christmas Day. Pretty big there. Liv Morgan also, I believe, appeared as well. Drew McIntyre versus Jey Uso is that. And as part of this, last Monday, this past Monday, Drew Mac or the final Raw aired on USA Network. And I had mentioned on Wrestling Observer Live when I did that show this past weekend, I didn't really get like the nostalgia feel some people did because WWE is still on USA Network with SmackDown, so that relationship is still there. The Peacock thing is still there. You know, Saturday Night's Main Event on NBC, so that relationship is there. I think I would tend to think that more in the historical feel when they're all gone. I've seen this. They leave and then they'll come back and so on. I just think we're in this new era now, and I think everyone does where streaming services are now. When it comes to live sports and things like this, they're right there with everybody else, and say the same things that everyone else has said. But it didn't really hit me. Oh, this is a final Raw, just because now it doesn't seem to matter where it airs. It's just you just know it's going to be on. If it wasn't going to be on Mondays, that'd be a difference for me. But yeah, so we had the big push for Netflix, and they're coming up their debut on Monday. And overall, we'll get your thoughts too. I don't think it's going to be like this. They're going to again uncover new fans under these rocks and things like this. I think domestically anyway. I think your international crowd, it's good because you're going to have consolidated eventually all in one spot instead of being sparse and being like I have to get numbers from this team, this company. How they all these things. You're finally going to get one unifying thing, which is good for Netflix, and it's good for WWE. I thought the comments we'll get to about more PLEs over E's. I thought that was a overseas rather is an interesting one, especially with trying to find new, being partners with Netflix and doing that. I thought that was again very interesting how that works with Peacock in the future. Also very interesting. But yeah, I don't think it's going to be this same with AEW on Max. I don't think all of a sudden you're going to find a few million new fans that have never watched the product before. I think they're going to have some spikes and things like that, but. Yeah, I think it's going to be great for WWE. The money's great and all this, but we're not going to get real. The numbers are a question. There's a lot of questions and things like that. I think it's a positive for the company. I don't know if it's going to take them into the stratosphere even more so than they are now, like some people expect. But I've talked for a while. What do you think about all this?
Well, for me being in Canada, it kind of was the end of an era for all WWE because everything's moving to Netflix.
Right.
And in fact, it already has. As of yesterday, as we're recording on Thursday, they had pretty much the complete WWE archive up there for us. I know it's not that way in the United States, but we have all the Raws, all the SmackDowns, all the PLEs,
Wow.
pay-per-views.
Okay.
Yeah. Which shocked me. I wasn't expecting that, especially based on what had been reported.
Yeah, they said
And we're
it's going to
gonna
be like select program, and people were
now,
freaking out about that, but you have everything, huh? Interesting.
yeah. So that's I would imagine the reason you don't is because you sell Peacock. So for us, SmackDown, NXT, Raw, Live are all moving to Netflix. We can still access NXT on cable because most people have the
CW,
WB channels,
W.
yeah, CW channels, yeah, on their cable system. So they're kind of higher up on the dial, and a lot of people probably don't even know they have it. But NXT is available, like it airs tons of times. So like that'll be the only show that people that only have cable can watch. But whereas like Netflix, I agree with you. Like I don't think that people are going to just like kind of stumble on this show, But what I do think is going to happen is there's not going to be as many people watching live on Mondays, but I'll bet you over the course of a week, there's going to be a lot of people that watch it later. Because as soon as you log into Netflix, it's going to be front of your screen. And, and if you have a smart TV, like I know today when I turned on my TV, like on the home screen, it was showing me that, Raw is on Monday.
Yeah, same here. It's been doing that for weeks for me. Yeah.
So that's something I didn't even have with regular TV. So, I think in that sense, like Netflix is really good at alerting you to that. And even like to the point, like if I'm in the middle of a pay-per-view watching it, like I was checking out some stuff yesterday on my, recently watched, it's there and I can just click on it from the home screen. So I could never do that with the WWE Network. So it is like I do think that the engagement with Netflix, they're really good at getting people to engage. And so I do think like again, I think it's going to bring back some lapsed fans. I don't think they'll watch the show live weekly, but I think they'll be more inclined to check out episodes, especially if they hear about it. Because I mean, honestly, like almost everybody has Netflix. You either have it or you have access to it. So, obviously you can check out clips on social media, but if you want to see the longer matches, you can do that. And then Netflix is going to suggest other things for you. And so in that sense, whereas I don't really know what it's like with AEW because we don't have Max up here. So for us, like the only way we can get, that stuff is you got to subscribe to like Triller, which I do. And, I have that VPN that you used to plug. I got that. So
Yes, NordVPN. Yes, of course.
yeah. So I got the AEW Plus and, I can watch the archives too. But, other than that, like you'd have to get like a subscription up here called TSN Plus, which I don't particularly like. For $8 a month, then you have the archives. And you can also watch all the shows streaming. So, but yeah, it is the end of an era, in a sense. And it'll be interesting to see going forward, like, as far as like reporting ratings and stuff, which is what I do. I don't think much will change for SmackDown and NXT, and I guess Dave does the Raw, but I think the Raw ratings are gonna be almost meaningless at this point. But don't tell anybody.
Yeah, we'll see how things are released and so on and so forth. Let's go over the this first chunk of stuff for WWE and NXT news. I'll kick it over to you for specific thoughts on anything here. The New Day turn against Big E on an episode of Raw during the 10th anniversary celebrating the New Day. Drew McIntyre made his return for the first time after Bad Blood in the cage match, attacking Sami Zayn. Gunther reportedly finalizing a new multi-year deal with WWE, part of a trend throughout the year where all their big stars are re-upping with the company, not even bothering to go to a free agency. Judge granted WWE's motion to pause the quote-unquote "Ring Boy Scandal" lawsuit. It was revealed that SmackDown officially would be moving to 3 hours at the start of 2025 at on USA, so that'll kick off in 25, just over 24 hours from now, give or take. The first vignettes for Penta El Zero Miedo. We don't know if that's going to be his name in WWE, but he's coming, and they start appearing on Raw, and he'll be debuting in some form or fashion on Netflix coming up on Monday. The Royal Rumble set to start at 6 p.m. Eastern. Nice early start time for the Royal Rumble this year, continuing with trend with the recent PLEs. The company and A&E announced they were going to launch the LFG reality competition show. This is a again, they love doing these. They're the child of Tough Enough and so on, replacing Level Up. Evander Holyfield's kid is expected to be a big part of this, essentially training, getting wrestlers to sign contracts or work for, try to win a contract and get their life dream of competing in Orlando at the Performance Center for a couple of years, I guess. The company filed to trademark Raw Vault, which most assume is going to be more content on YouTube with the success of the WWE Vault. That was a nice little development throughout the year in 2024. DIY won the tag team titles on SmackDown. They announced the talent transfer window between all three brands, again, leaving them doing the split roster thing, but allowing them an out and a way to, switch talents back and forth with all three brands. War Games took its toll on three guys. Tongaloa suffered a torn biceps. Bronson Reed fractured his ankle, expected to possibly miss WrestleMania 41. I think that's probably a guarantee at this point. Jimmy Uso breaking his toe. Janelle Grant, the lawsuit against Vince McMahon, so which started a year ago, as we're talking today, give or take, the lawsuit against Vince McMahon and WWE cleared to resume after it was paused for 6 months as the U.S. federal government requested that so they could pursue their investigation. So we're still going on this. We still really have no idea where it's going to end. Just before, it was December 23rd, McMahon and WWE filed in court papers to seek arbitration in the Giselle Grant lawsuit, citing a clause in the NDA saying that it stated that that was how you had to arbitrate. Is just such a scummy thing that they had to get to the point they signed an NDA. Now they're using all that language in the NDA, which was needed, which was a result of all the scummy things McMahon did. It just is just a bad, bad dude. Coming announced a partnership with St. Bonaventure University Athletics for St. Bonaventure, yeah, College of the United States, but now famous for Adrian Wojnarowski of NBA Insider fame. He is the GM of their basketball program and so on. So, not exactly a major college, but notable because he went there after he retired from the NBA beat earlier in 2024. Triple H says he has a mile-long list of celebrities who want to appear at WrestleMania 41. We'll see who actually does appear. He also said he brought up a potential WWE career to Bill Goldberg's son, Gage. Braun Strowman returned to TV, rejoined the SmackDown roster. Mark Shapiro said there's absolutely an opportunity for more two-day WPLEs. I don't think anyone's surprised at that. He said expect even more international PLEs in 2025. I didn't even realize this till he said it, and I kind of fact checked it. I think there's eight overseas or international PLEs in 2024, and that's crazy. That it used to be
Wow.
everything was stateside except for, maybe one in Toronto or, Vancouver or, something like that. But now they're, I mean, all through Europe, and obviously Elimination Chambers come in Toronto. Just had War Games or Survivor Series in Vancouver and so on. So yeah, even more. I don't know if they're going to add more because he seemed really, really fixed on the every single month thing, and that's going to be a big selling of the domestically the PLE rights here, and that destination 1 month. He really seemed to like that. So we'll see. But even more, I was very surprised by that. Naomi replacing Jade Cargill as a WWE Women's Tag Team Champion. Freebird rules, I guess now alive and well. Michael Hayes probably been pushing that forever in the WWE. And then Becky Lynch landed a role in the show Star Trek Starfleet Academy. Still not signed under contract, but we assume any day now she'll reappear and be back in our WWE lives. Thoughts about any of that?
Well, her name being brought up on Monday probably was a bit of a clue too.
Mm-hmm.
I think out of those, the most obviously the stuff with the lawsuits, it got a lot of attention and not really, I think, what people wanted to hear necessarily. Especially with, I can understand with the Ring Boy lawsuit, like depending on how some of those states rule on whether or not. About the statute of limitations and everything, like if this is even going to be legal, it sucks, but it's also the law, which in a lot of cases sucks. And with the Vince McMahon, Janelle Grant, they as bad as this is to admit, like they did agree to this arbitration thing. So I think like David put it, I think on Wrestling Observer Radio that they're almost at this point hoping that a judge is just going to basically ignore the law because, obviously the facts in this case are, Vince did a lot of really bad stuff and should probably have to pay for it. And, and the fact that they agreed to arbitration should not necessarily disqualify him from having to pay the consequences of what he did. But, their Vince's side is relying on, well, the law is the law. So we'll see what happens there. But I, doesn't sound good. And then the other thing I think was the about the PLEs. And I the international PLEs are interesting because they they get paid obviously a lot of money to go to these cities. The crowds are insanely hot. They're getting massive gates on these shows. So in addition to their site fees, they're charging through the roof for these tickets and people are buying them. So I until that slows down, I don't expect them to slow down on the international. And then the other thing is by doing that, that also is increasing the demand in the United States because there's less and less of the big events in the United States. So when they do come here, there's more demand here now all of a sudden as well. So, or North America anyways, when I say here. But yeah, so I right now it's just all clicking for them and TKO in general, because obviously UFC is doing
Yep.
huge business for their live gates as well. So that will they're gonna milk that cow as long as they can. And and I think there's a lot of really smart people running that company. So they'll hopefully stay ahead of it and and when it they see signs that it's slowing down, then maybe, you know, maybe they go back to running more domestic events. And and I don't think it's hard to put that toothpaste back in the bottle when it comes to these 2-day PLEs. Like, I don't think those will go away, like maybe ever, as long as people are willing to buy tickets. Like, even 75% sold out WrestleMania for 2 nights is better than a 100% for 1 night, is probably how they look at it. So, unless these crowds get down to, like they're drawing 15,000 in a stadium or something, then, I don't expect that to end. So, I personally, like, I don't mind the 2-day PLEs, especially if they're 5 matches a show. Like, you can get through the show in like 2, 2.5 hours, and, Saturday and Sunday, that's fine. You know, if you watch baseball, you're watching, 4 or 5 games a week. It's fine to watch wrestling for that. But it does become, like you said, when there's a week, if you have a Saturday night's main event, you got a 3-hour Raw, 3-hour SmackDown, 2-hour NXT, we're talking 5 days a week now. And that is even
Year
for us.
round.
So, and then that's not even counting AEW, let alone TNA, New Japan. You know, like, it's, I think that what they're trying to do is squeeze out the market almost in a way. Is what I always kind of think of when they have these press conferences and they talk about 2-day PLEs and more events and everything. It's like, okay, they're trying to, trying to make people not watch AEW, really, is what I hear. But, and that's, that's a wrestling war.
Even things where they're trying to, corner the market, like, you need this, we got this, you need this, we got this. Even stuff like the reality aspect with this, LFG show, the and things like the WWE Vault. You need something to watch during the day. You want some old stuff that we're not, we never used to acknowledge in the past. Here you go, watch to your heart's content. So someone, when it gets around to watching any other stuff, it's just not, it just, it's like, we got you covered. And that's the big difference in the post Vince era, is now they're trying to be like every single potential thing where someone could want to go somewhere else. They're like, now we got you. And he's getting buzz for doing it. And that's the thing. So yeah, 8 out of 12 PLEs in 2024, 8 were held outside the US, 2 each in Saudi Arabia and Canada, and 1 each in Australia, France, Scotland, and Germany. So far, they've announced 4 PLEs for 2025. 1 is outside the US, which is March's Elimination Chamber in Canada. So that would mean if they're going to do more, that'd mean basically the rest of the year, essentially.
They're also doing that a month-long tour of Europe leading up to
Yeah,
WrestleMania.
that's
So
true. Yep.
that's going to be massive. And that's going to be weird because the Raws are going to air early on Netflix.
Yes.
So yeah.
In for yeah not here they won't, or here being in the United States, they're going to air, from what Dave said, they're going to air at the normal time. There's going to be tape delay, which
I
is,
didn't realize that.
yeah,
I
which
thought
is,
I
yeah, I would think, like, and that could change, plans change, but I would think just run it live wherever, that's the beauty of it. Yeah, just air it live, who cares.
Well, I guess if you have a VPN, you could probably watch it live.
True, true. Let's go through the rest of WWE, and we got some NXT in here as well. The War Raiders won the World Tag Team titles on Raw, and the story came out that Ivar, quote unquote, dodged a very big bullet with his 2024 neck injury. Could have been very, very serious there. Cody Rhodes, I always hear that too, and I'm like, why are you wrestling? You know what I mean? If I get try to do something else in the business, so, boy, that's scary stuff. Cody Rhodes set to appear in this UK bedtime story series. Apparently, it's big over there. A report came out that Lee Fitting, the lead creative producer, on-air producer for Raw and all WWE's products, really, was fired from ESPN due to misconduct and objectifying women. I did not expect WWE to discipline him or anything at all. I'm sure they knew this going in, and they knew, and they're just going to let things blow over. And that's how it works. Carmella, remember her, said she's hopeful for a return at some point. She said she misses performing. Logan Paul was announced as the newest member of the Raw roster. We had some December house shows about to be essentially extinct in a lot of ways. We'll see how this goes throughout 2025. But CM Punk, a big part of him, take on Ludwig Kaiser in Madison Square Garden, and then taking on Gunther in a house show steel cage match, which was crazy, in Chicago. Again, a first time ever match, and they're doing it for a house show and for the title, no less. I thought that was really fascinating. Tribute to the Troops, another WWE bygone era. That's officially done after 20 plus years, and it kind of lost its, I think, effectiveness and lost the plot a little bit, but they're not doing that. So we'll see if that revives in any form or fashion down the road. Maxine Dupri got engaged to NXT's Anthony Luque. Almost. Yes, almost. I believe still in a WWE contract. Set a challenge for the tag team titles at Noah's the New Year. And it was his first match anywhere since April 2024. Spoiler alert for the series for next year. He is now a member of the tag team champions. Imagine that.
Oh,
Yes, he won. Oh, did I spoil that for you? I'm sorry.
I don't watch Noah, so,
Okay,
but
good. There you go. LA Knight involved in a minor car accident ahead of a house show in Baltimore this past month, of course. Cody Rhodes versus Kevin Owens world title ladder match set for the Royal Rumble, this being for the traditional title, then the Winged Eagle title. As Brian Alvarez calls it, the winged title. I don't know why he calls it that. There was this very interesting promo that happened actually last week. CM Punk and Seth Rollins referencing AEW and Vince McMahon and this tete-on-tete Raw promo. Cody Rhodes said he expects to have the end of his full-time career done at age 45. Initially, it was going to be 40. Now he said it's going to be 45. And he's still going to expect to be around and stay in shape and do some stuff. But, you know, again, these guys are not going to go away. And I think at some point, there's just going to be a glut of people and new guys trying to come up. And these old guys, they still look great and they won't go away. So I think that's something to watch for down the road. Is this some NXT stuff? NXT Deadline happened. Eddie Thorpe was removed from the Iron Survivor Challenge match. It was part of this big ruse. That was kind of a fun angle there, eventually challenging Trick Williams for the NXT title. Obafemi returned, won the men's Iron Survivor Challenge, and then Julia won the women's Iron Survivor Challenge. And they will square off for New Year's Evil coming up next week in Los Angeles at the Shrine Expo Hall. Shotzi returned from injury on the show. Elijah Holyfield, we just talked about him, made his debut prior to an NXT taping. Again, part of this whole LFG show and so on and so forth. Tony D'Angelo is cast in season two of a show called Wild Cards on the CW. No idea what that is. Alexis King won the Heritage Cup trophy. Ariana Grace and Channing Stacks Lorenzo got engaged. Love was in the air in NXT. Always seems to be down there with all those kids. And Axiom announced over a indie show in Spain, heading back to former A Kid. Thoughts about any of that?
Yeah, the NXT Deadline I thought was a pretty good show, specifically the Iron Survivor Challenge matches. They always deliver, and this year was no exception. Both of them were really good, I thought. I was a big fan of that Eddie Thorpe angle. A lot of people probably don't know this, but I'm part native Canadian, Aboriginal is what we call it here. But so for me, like, I'm kind of Eddie's my guy, and when he talks about fighting for my people and our people, get screwed all the time, like, I just kind of relate to that, and I get a kick out of it. So I'm kind of really liking this renewed push for him, and looking forward to big things for him in 2025. I did not know about the Maxine Dupri engagement, and I watch everything. I have no idea who Anthony Luke is. I looked him up, and I guess he's going to be on this LFG show, which apparently they've already done tapings for. So I guess that's going to be starting soon. I don't know how or where I can watch it, but if it's on, I'll watch it. That's me. The thing that really I get interested in, and you mentioned it on a couple different things, Omos and Axiom, and there's some other situations here as well. I think Nakamura is wrestling in Japan as well. I really think it's cool that WWE is now allowing their talent to do some of these outside gigs. And when I say allowing, I don't know how much of it is the wrestlers asking or the company asking them. Hey, do you want to do this? We have an opportunity to work with this company, and they like you and stuff like that. Or if it's the guys going to the company and saying we want to do this. Either way, I think it's cool that we're seeing more and more of that, and it kind of, like, way down the road kind of maybe opens up, like, is it possible for a WWE to work with a big company on a joint show, whether that's, I mean, they obviously worked with TNA a lot in 2024. They're working with Noah. I would never say never on the AW thing. Like, I don't think it's going to ever happen, but I think if there was a 0% chance a year ago, maybe there's like a 0.001 chance now. You know what I mean? Like, I just think, especially because I don't think they see AW as a threat anymore. And with the way that they acknowledged AEW's existence on Monday, not just in that promo, but even in their recap of, it was like a 3-minute recap, and they showed talents that are in AEW right now all over that thing, and there were people in their own company that they didn't show. So, like I don't think like there was a time when they would not have shown Bryan Danielson or Mercedes, and they did now because I don't think they're worried about it. It's like, yeah, they exist. We're us, and we're the big dog. And that's it. That's what the way they look at it now. The war is over in their minds, even though obviously it's not. But it in their sense it kind of is.
Yeah, I don't think they've worried about them in years. I think they're I've never I don't I think they're I think there's a there was a talent war. I don't think there's a wrestling war because they could just literally just put on something against Dynamite and crush them, you know? Or just I mean look what NXT does and it just it is it's and that's just AEW did to themselves. We're going to talk about AEW in just a minute. They're not hot and there's so much as we talked about. There's only so much wrestling that some people want to watch. And they're like, I don't want to have to learn about this other thing. I have this lineage back to WWE. That's the thing that going into this, they all had an advantage of is they have nostalgia on their side. And the thing that changed was when Vince was gone. Because Vince was, as we saw, he was just holding it back in a lot of ways. It didn't feel fun. And it didn't feel like it does now. Young, colorful, just like it feels fresh. And granted, there's still issues, and I think that's always going to be the case. Any type of creative endeavor, you're always going to have people like, I don't like this. I wish I did this. There's still too much on TV, which is true, but it just feels different. And yeah, I don't I think there's a better chance of CM Punk running NXT, the WWE doing an AEW house show, which I also think would never happen. But stranger things have happened, but it's that would be the to me the ultimate like, wow, things have this is just it's crazy. It's absolutely, but yeah, we'll see. Let's go to AEW and Ring of Honor. Let's talk about the other side of the street, so to speak. World's End just happened, of course, last weekend, or yeah, last this past weekend. World's End, we had there were no title or Dynamite Diamond Ring changes for those that care about that. Okada winning the Continental Classic Tournament, his first one over Will Ospreay, officially retaining the Continental Classic or Continental Championship, rather. I think a worthless title. They have four men's singles titles are just way too much because you don't. What's the hierarchy? You don't know. You need a hierarchy. That's the whole thing. Kenny Omega made his return on that show to confront Mr. Okada after his victory hand over the title. So as I hoped, he appeared on AEW program before competing at for Wrestle Dynasty, which I do not consider an AEW show. The man known as Cope now, Adam Copeland, made his return. I know. See, and the and MJF, of course, defeated Adam Cole to end that just awful, awful feud, worst feud of the year, and Undisputed Kingdom to everyone's, bemusement or whatever you want to say, just apathy, fully
Yeah,
reunited
that's a good word.
without Wardlow after, and so Wardlow, I think, is still hurt or whatever. Who knows? And AEW also leaning into further leaning into the Axl Rose verse using Welcome to the Jungle for a World's End hype video after playing November Rain on repeat seemingly for weeks on end. But yeah, this is a World's End where you had Copeland and Omega returning, which was newsworthy. But in terms of like a, as I said, the in-ring always great. I'm never worried about an AEW pay-per-view, nor should anyone else be in terms of in-ring. They're always great because they have great talent up and down the roster. I think the only one this year I remember that was kind of it was Dynasty. I remember thinking there was like some good stuff, but there was also some stuff. It's like, okay, this isn't the best. But then everything after is just it's always solid, solid to great. But in terms of like newsworthy interest level, what's the feeling going in? What's the feeling going out? It was a pay-per-view, you know? Like I didn't feel like this all of a sudden like we're off on the rocket ship, so to speak. I'm excited that they have a full deck again of all their stars. How are they going to use them? That's a there's no more excuses for the company. They've had a, they have all their top guys are ready. And some guys, like I've said for weeks, Samoa Joe is just sitting there. When's he going to come back or so on? When it comes to all their male stars, everyone is there and ready to go. What are you going to do with it now? So I just thought I thought World's End was fine, but a good in-ring show, but in terms of like again, that emotion coming out of it, okay.
Yeah, I think a lot of the issues with World's End, how you feel about it, and I agree with you on the in-ring, but all the heels won. I mean, that's kind of a downer to end the year on, and second pay-per-view in a row where that happens. So, like there's one thing when you do it once because you're kind of doing a reset, and you got this Moxley thing that you're trying to get over, but now it's two. and then and no sign of that slowing down. Like I, you know, you look at the champions there, and I don't, you know, for the heel champions, I have a belt. Like I can't even foresee any of them losing those titles anytime soon. Like there just doesn't seem to be that hot baby face just ready to take the title. You know, certainly not in the world title. I would be not be the least bit surprised if Okada holds that continental title until next year's tournament. You know, and then, you know, and then you got Mariah and Mercedes. Nobody's beaten either of those two anytime soon. You know, they're both great, and there's no baby face that's even close to being hot enough to beat them. So, you know, that's kind of where you're at with that. And when, you know, and this is like the same thing we said about WWE before AEW started, if you remember. Like they couldn't make a baby face. They were stuck in their ways. Vince, you know, we go back to Limp Bizkit all the time. Now you got Tony Khan with Guns N' Roses. There's so many, you know, even something like Cope. To me, like when that started last night on Dynamite, like I'm just, is Vince running this company now? Like this is like something he would have done. You know, just one day all of a sudden a guy loses half his name, or in this case, three quarters of his name. And he's just cope, 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 cope. And you're listening to the commentators. I think at one point Excalibur accidentally said Adam Copeland. And then, you know, I'm sure Tony was screaming in his ear, and he said cope about seven times in the next 15 seconds to get it over that no, his name's Cope now. And yeah, I mean, it just, you listen stuff like that, and like regular people, like normal casual fans that maybe are just flipping through, like you watch something like that and you're just like, what is this? And even like using, you know, like God bless them, but I'm so excited by the Pointer
Oh,
Sisters for to kick off the show. And I'm thinking, like, man, if I turned on wrestling when I started watching, and then, you know, I go way back. So I started watching in like 84, 85. If I turned on the show and they're playing like a Glenn Miller song from 1943, you know, am I gonna keep watching? That's
right.
how old the Pointer Sisters are now. Like, you know, like you know, put on some like Sabrina Carpenter or something. Like
It was that was I thought because I tuned in about 30 or so minutes late. We're talking about the Dynamite from Wednesday, of course. And I turned about 30 minutes or so late. I started watching a match just to get the experience of it. And I thought it was just like filler, like clips. I didn't realize that was a show open. So I started and so I started playing, you know, I'm so excited. I'm just like, it's an interesting use of just like clips to fill in. I thought like because on Max, it listed Dynamite starting at 7:55, also for Collision. So I thought they were listening to it was just kind of the 5 minute, like just a weird kind of, you know, video montage of clips and things like that. You're just kind of waiting for the show to start. And it's like, oh no, this is it. I'm like, huh. I mean, it is. I applaud them trying something different, but it didn't have that feel. I don't need, look, I am 46, about to turn 47. In a couple days, I don't. Yeah, look, I'm from the rap rock era of again Limp Bizkit, Korn, alternative music, all this stuff like that. I get it, and it's good that, you know, WWE has moved on past a lot of that. But there's like hip hop and things, different things you can use to still kind of, you've got to have that feeling of like, here we go, right? And I don't. Yeah, the Pointer Sisters from '83, man. I don't. That's a song like my mom would listen to. You hear in like a dentist office or something like that. And it's yacht rock adjacent, I think, for those that are into that. It just doesn't have that, like, let's go see someone stick a hypodermic needle in someone else's mouth in a steel cage match. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like Welcome to the Jungle would have been better for that,
Yes,
in
I
my
agree.
opinion, you know, but maybe that cost too much. I don't know.
All right, let's go to Ring of Honor Final Battle. This is another PLE, so to speak, streaming special for Ring of Honor, which still exists. Matt Cardona officially, after a long run, a long career rather, made his official Ring of Honor debut, losing to Chris Jericho in the main event, or no, the co-main event rather. Jay Lethal revived his Black Machismo character, and I don't think it's going to stick around. I guess it was just to push a action figure, which, you know, I think he should just bring it back because it's something different. I haven't seen him. He hasn't really done anything for like half a year, it seems. Danhausen made his surprise return on the show, so I don't know if he's going to run out the contract or kind of what the deal is. So we'll see what happens there. Nigel McGuinness, really comeback wrestler of the year in a lot of ways. For 2024, made a surprise appearance, wrestled Lee Moriarty in the Pure for the Pure Championship. Commander won the men's television title. Bandido made a surprise appearance after. So vignette started airing in December on AEW TV for Bandido's return. and had some people excited. People seemed to like those. And the Luring Tree are beating up Cardona after the match, and then all of a sudden Bandido runs out, does one missile drop kick off the top, hits his head on the mat and concusses himself, and you could tell immediately he was just off. And it just clumsily kind of went through some spots, and Luring Tree, not good. It just is. It just felt like a perfect kind of like bow on AEW's year in so many ways. Just when they try to get something right, something like that failed. And we'll see when he comes back. Jeff Jarrett made his promotional debut in the show in a running angle. John Silver working through a torn hamstring, and the part of the lead up to this was Chris Jericho appearing at a GCW event and attacking both Matt Cardona and Effie. Of course, this coming just weeks after this whole kerfluffle with Ricky Starks and GCW and Willie Mack. We'll talk about in a minute, the whole Hammerstein Ballroom thing. So very interesting. I expected Effie perhaps to appear at Final Battle. He did not. So Tony Khan said it was a request from Jericho. He did it. So I think things are a little bit frigid between those two groups now, which is interesting to see what happens for 2025 and their big show coming at Hammerstein. We'll see if AEW sends anyone there. But yeah, it was Athena won the main event. I think that surprised a lot of people. So apparently she's going to be a Ring of Honor lifer. I don't know. At this point, I think she should be called up to the main roster, so to speak. But yeah, it was it had as a show, it had its moments. But again, it's more wrestling. Kind of what's the purpose of Ring of Honor? I don't really know. And yeah, it's we'll see if they get this TV deal, but it was a show that happened on Friday night.
Yeah, believe it or not, I do watch ROH. I watch the weekly shows. I watch, the whatever you want to call them. They're not really pay-per-views anymore, but so I
Streaming
watched,
specials.
the PLEs basically.
Yeah.
I watched Final Battle. It was like almost a week after it happened, and I had heard about the Commander TV title win, and I was kind of like, just rolling my eyes at that, but then when I actually watch it happen, like the match is really good and everything. It's just, if you ignore the fact that he loses every time on AEW, then it was fine. But I hadn't heard about the Danhausen or the Naito like appearances. So like in
Oh.
all the podcasts I listened to and all the wrestling, these were just, for whatever reason, they just didn't get reported in anything I saw. So I was actually surprised when I watched it. And then like what even surprised me even more, they've never once mentioned on AEW television that Nigel returned on ROH, like on the pay-per-view. So I'm just like flabbergasted. Like I can't
Yeah.
imagine if like Corey Graves, just made a surprise appearance and wrestled on an NXT show, we'd hear about it on Raw and SmackDown. I guarantee it. So I just find that baffling. Like I don't even know why they do stuff like that, and then they don't tell us about it. Like maybe some people would go watch the show, and Danhausen as well. Like that was just kind of a cool moment for the people that were there. So yeah, overall it was a good show. The ROH shows, generally are, the weekly shows not so much, but the their quarterly specials or whatever they do 3 or 4 times a year now are good. I'm interested to see what goes on further with Matt Cardona. Was this just a one-off? Is he going to be a regular? I haven't heard anything about him, so my guess is that he was just brought in for this one show and the lead up to it, and we probably won't see him again unless, they decide to do this again at some point down the road. But I don't think he signed a contract unless you heard anything.
No, we'll talk about it. He was offered a contract. Like I
Oh,
said,
okay.
yeah, he said he was offered an AEW contract. His
Oh, yeah, I
status is
see. Yeah.
uncertain. I did hear at one point he was not accepting indie bookings after February. I think it was January or February.
Well, I
So
had
we'll
heard a
see.
while ago that he was going back to WWE. So
Oh,
I,
really? Possible.
yeah, so when I heard all this, I was kind of surprised that he was even doing this, but maybe it's just something he wanted to do before he, because I'm sure WWE would be interested in him. His wife works there, and and he's over, and it's not the old regime where, if a guy gets over, they try to bury you because you got over. Like, I would like to see him get, I think he wants that one last WWE run. So,
Yeah, he said it. Yeah.
yeah, a motivated Matt Cardona would be great. And I think honestly, like I don't really see anything for him in AEW, outside of, he'll have some decent matches, but it's not like he's going to be anywhere near the top of the card, and I think a mid-carder in WWE is better off than a mid-carder in AEW, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, he could work in NXT. He could
Yep.
do main roster. Yeah, there's a few things he could do there. Yeah, we'll see how that plays out. Let's go through some of the other AEW Ring of Honor headlines of the month. We'll start with this first block. Maria Kanellis, after a tough year for her in a lot of ways, sharing a positive health update, saying her tumor was not cancerous. So that's good. I don't know if she's officially out of done with AEW because her contract was set to run out in October. And then she said that she was gonna be open for interviews about her experience, which of course everyone's like, okay, something's coming. And then there was nothing more about that. There was just a lot of health stuff. So we'll see what happens there. Juice Robinson, tough break for him, literally breaking his fibula out of the Continental Classic and was replaced by Commander. Ryan Nemeth, we learned, set a complaint to AEW executives about CM Punk harassment and threats during his time there during the Punk Collision run. Taz returned to the broadcast booth on AEW Dynamite from the Hammerstein Ballroom, and of course, going under total knee replacement surgery in October. And yeah, he lives about an hour away, give or take or so, from the venue. So, but as we learned last night, he's not back on the road, so it's going to be some time, I think, before that happens. Of course, he came back. There was no mention of why he was gone. There was no mention of, the angle with Hook and Christian Cage and all, like, no mention at all, which is just crazy. And finally, 2 weeks from now, we're going to get that Christian Cage versus Hook match that, the slow burn from early October when all this stuff happened. Ray Phoenix, speaking of slow burns, quote came out on X: "No one stays in a place where they received inhumane treatment." And he alluded to mistreatment by AEW, saying he needed a doc. He's just saying, "I needed a doctor. You ignored me for months. You, most people soon to be AEW." He deleted a bunch of stuff. He's still under contract for a considerable amount of time for this year, as we sit here today. And of course, his brother about to debut in WWE. Just a cluster F in so many ways, how these two guys kind of went about things, or at least how Phoenix did near the end, with all the stuff we've been talking about the past couple months. AEW provided a status update on Rush and Jalisco, saying they were at home with family matters. There's nothing like signing these contracts and then not working, and they're just non-existent. It's crazy. I mean, for a couple of weeks, out for a couple of weeks doing the Rio thing, apparently. Big Bill and Lexi Nair got married. Big Boom AJ gave an update on his timeline for AEW return at some point in January. Hope he back in the ring. Some more Big Boom AJ and Big Justice
Right.
and the Rizzler and all that coming back. Again, I want that Kenny Omega versus Big Boom AJ match so badly, just for the hell of it. All In Texas cleared the $1 million mark in ticket sales in their first week or so, the pre-sales and all that. StarCast returning as part of All In Texas Weeks. There's going to be all types of stuff going on in Arlington for that week. Bryan Danielson, he's going to attend the show. His in-ring status is uncertain, trying to avoid surgery. And he says 50-50 if he'll ever wrestle again. Willie Mack, as I mentioned earlier, pulled from GCW events. It was the phrasing, I think, from Fightful was he was not directly told that he should pull out, but that it was heavily insinuated that he should. No real big difference there in the wording. Tony Khan addressed the future of AEW video games. He said, they still have a lot more to do with Fight Forever. But again, it went back kind of earlier in the year. The report came out strongly looking at a different developer for those games, as it did not hit with a lot of fans that play those. Madison Rayne made her return on Ring of Honor TV after a long absence. Toni Storm made her surprise return as Dynamite's Winter is Coming. And yeah, I don't know what more you can say about this angle, this character that she's doing now. Not working for me, but it's something kooky and strange and different and all that stuff. But that's where we're at. Thoughts about any of that?
I'm with you on the Tony thing. I think it's silly, but we'll see. I'm sure that when she does the big reveal as Timeless Tony and she's been acting all along, it'll get a big pop and the announcers will go crazy and then we can move on with our lives. The Taz thing was baffling. I just like when I heard it, like, yeah, I was just like, wait a minute, what? Like, and then I had to rewind back to see, like, did they welcome him back? Did they, ask him for help? No, he was just there.
Yeah,
And
just
then
there. Yeah.
he's just not, like, this week he's gone. So, I don't know. I, this whole thing, like, it's just like so much of this is like, there's so much going on behind the scenes that is every time I hear news about them off camera, like, it's just so much of it is off-putting. And it's like, I almost feel like if you only watch the TV and didn't follow anything, you probably enjoy it a lot more in some ways. But, we can't help ourselves. And AEW was built on the people that follow this stuff, as closely as we do. So they kind of made their bed and now they're having to lie in it, in my opinion. So you can't like have the good with the bad. It's this underground fan base that wanted an alternative to WWE. That is the reason this company exists. And now that, the bloom is off the rose, so to speak, on this company, now they kind of want us to, well, just shut up and watch the show is kind of almost the feeling you get from them sometimes. But
Yep.
Can't really have it that way. I did find the Willie Mack thing interesting because I just watched a GCW show, believe it or not, and he was like headlining that. So I guess it is just GCW. They don't want him working. Which again, going back to what we talked about in the previous segment, that's very interesting. And WWE is working more with GCW now. So, that is just kind of the decks, the kind of realigning, shuffling the decks or whatever you want to call it. And so it's interesting. And we'll see how that progresses in 2025.
Go through the rest of the month. Athena qualified for the Wrestle Dynasty International Women's Cup as the ROH representative, also set for her Stardom debut. I did not realize this. Actually, I realized it when I did, I think, the post for this, that she had never wrestled in Japan before. So I thought that
Oh,
was kind of
wow.
interesting after her long career. Yeah, so good for her. Willow Nightingale also qualified for the International Women's Cup as part of the AEW contingent. So that'll be happening this Saturday into Sunday in Japan. For Wrestle Dynasty, Luchasaurus doing much better in recovery from double pneumonia. Julia Hart made her return on Collision. Matt Cardona, as I mentioned, offered a contract from AEW. Status is uncertain. That could have been floated out there, perhaps to get a deal from WWE. Who knows, right? That's interesting how that stuff happens. Kenny Omega return video aired during the Holiday Bash edition of Dynamite. We know that he'll return as we sit here next Wednesday on AEW for the first time since May. WWE finally announced details on how the content library was going to be available on Max. So as of right now, we have all their year ones of 2019, all the AEW Dynamites, in addition to the pay-per-views and the other specials that they had that year. So that's up there now and more to come. Maximum Carnage editions of Dynamite and Collision coming in January from Cincinnati, Ohio. Dustin Rhodes officially signed a new multi-year deal with the company. AEW and ITV announced an extension of their UK TV deal. The Rock and Roll Express getting that key demo, brother. Return to AEW for two January appearances. One of them will be coming up this weekend in the Saturday in Charlotte. After a multi-year run, AEW Rampage, RIP, officially wrapped up. The Young Bucks, this was an interesting quote. Creative changed 4 to 5 different times before they dropped the AEW tag team titles to Private Party. Viva Vann said that she had signed with AEW. Chris Statlander set for to work some indie shows, a show on New Year's Eve, and then also for Beyond Wrestling. So returning to her Northeastern wrestling roots. MJF and Big Boom AJ met face to face at a Boca Raton Championship Wrestling event. Yes, MJF working an indie show in Boca Raton, Florida. I don't know why. I don't know why they do this.
It's a big Jewish community down there, and
True,
he,
yeah.
yeah, that's why for
Okay.
him. Yeah.
Ricky Starks appeared at a Defy event just a couple days ago, went face to face with Kenta. So he's going to continue to get his name out there and work indie shows other than GCW. Thoughts about any of that?
Yeah, some interesting stuff there. The Kenny Omega return video. It's funny that like they did that video, then he shows up on the pay-per-view last night. They if you blinked, you missed it, but apparently he's returning next week on Dynamite. They barely promoted it, but he is wrestling in Japan, for those that don't know, in less than, I think, in 40, or I guess 72 hours,
Give or take, yeah.
or yeah. And if you only watch AEW, you have no idea. Like, they're just not even talking about it. So that's very interesting, the way they're handling that. And of course, expecting that we ignore the fact that Kazuchika Okada, kicked him in the gut on the last time he was on Dynamite, and right after he said, "One bad shot to the gut and I could die," and then Okada just kicked him in the gut, and it was this big serious angle, and then it's all forgotten now. So I don't know. The AEW Rampage wrapping up, the way they did it was interesting. Jon Moxley essentially canceled the show on his own. And that Young Bucks interview, I mean, you mentioned one thing from it, but I think that was the same one where they also talked about the fact that they've basically half-assed it all year as part of a gimmick.
Yes.
And they said a bunch of other stuff, and it was just like, you watch or listen to this or read the recap, and it's almost like all of the issues with AEW just rolled into one. Like, these guys, like, apparently, if what they're saying is true, like, they're basically tanking, matches and shows in order to get an angle over that doesn't really do any good for anybody, and somehow this is a positive for the business. Like, I don't know. And when they talked about the creative changing, I think one of the things that somebody had pitched was they were going to get squashed by the Outrunners, like, at one point was one of the ideas. And it's like, what are they doing? And then even what they ended up doing, like Private Party, I mean, it was a fine moment, but They've done nothing with those tag team titles since then. Private Party barely exists on AEW television. And yeah, it's, I don't know, man.
Yeah, not good. Not good.
Yeah.
Let's go to the month of TNA. Not a ton of
Yeah.
stuff happening here, but kind of a surprise return. So we had Final Resolution, their monthly streaming special there, and Tessa Blanchard, the former Impact World Champion and also Knockouts Champion, making her return to the company, attack Jordynne Grace. So that is expected to set up a singles match for Genesis, which would then be everyone assumes Jordynne Grace's exit from the company, and then she'll head to the land of Titan Sports and sign with WWE. I think everyone that's it seems a fait accompli, so to speak. Nick Nemeth defending the world title against Joe Hendry coming up at Genesis as well. Hammerstone was pulled from the show due to an injury. We learned that was due to an ACL tear, so that'll keep him out for the majority of 2024. Eddie Edwards got in a physical altercation with a fan. It was just kind of a weird thing where you initially watched it and it's like, is this just a plant? Or like the camera usually in those cases doesn't focus on that, but they actually like went right over to do it. And it was just kind of one of those things where I don't think anyone knew what was going on. But yeah, the fan was thrown out, but they exchanged slaps and it was a yeah, kind of weird thing. TNA had this poll in November where they said the fans are going to pick where we're going to go, Los Angeles or New York. And they said, well, we had so much response, we're just going to do both shows. And they had two arenas magically booked. How about that? And I don't know how they're going to fill these arenas. I don't know what they have up their sleeves, but they have something going on. One, the UBS Arena, I think the arena where USC plays their basketball games and things like that. I believe it's where the one in LA is, but I mean, I something's up. Something's up. I don't know what, but we'll talk about that in a second. TNA Wrestling, Anthem Sports and Entertainment, their sports division hired a new president. Rhino finishing up with the company. Jay Chung finishing up with the company. Kushida, Trent Seven finishing up with the company. Is there some roster churn happening there? TNA Wrestling confirmed their TV deal with Sportsnet in Canada starting in 2025. Some people thought that might be a destination for AEW. However, TNA Wrestling going in there AEW doing their own Canadian re-up deal and so on. So yeah, TNA, that's a pretty big network for them. You can speak more to that than I can. As I mentioned, Hammerstone undergoing ACL surgery. And I believe this is on New Year's Eve. AJ Francis, major player in in TNA, re-signing with the company as well. Thoughts about any of that?
The LA and New York shows is interesting. I think WrestleTix had they've already the details of tickets are already on sale for that New York show, and they've sold almost 1,600 tickets already. So that's going to end up being a decent gate by TNA standards for sure.
In a 10,000
And
seat
that's
building, though. That's a big building for them to run.
It's set up for four right now. But yeah, I mean it's I mean I was kind of like when they said UBS Arena, I was kind of surprised, but. We'll see. I mean, if they got 15, 1600 already, I mean, they may get 4,000 in there, and
Yeah.
by TNA standards, that's pretty good for them. A lot of departures. As happens at this time of the year, it seems like every year. You mentioned Jordynne Grace. I wouldn't be surprised at all if Joe Hendry, is it goes to WWE as soon as he's able. He kind of he did he had an appearance on the NXT show, and he kind of hinted at. Actually, he hinted at appearing on Netflix, like because he said, say his name and he appears any show, anytime, anywhere, and then they aired the Raw on Netflix logo. So, I don't know. Maybe I'm reading too much into that, but it's kind of what I got out of it. And the TV deal with Sportsnet, it's big here. Like Sportsnet is a station everybody has. It's your one of your go-tos for sports. It's either TSN or ESPN or TSN or Sportsnet, and they have TNA programming all over that station. It's like probably like 4 or 5 hours a day of either classic or of course Impact airing, and I think they're also airing Explosion, which is like their version of like Main Event. And even like they're airing a replay. I haven't seen this reported anywhere, but I saw it in the listings. They're airing a replay of Impact in the same time slot as they used to air SmackDown. So, that I think a lot of people tuning in on Friday night expecting to see wrestling are going to see Impact, and they have a lot of ex-WWE people in there, so they may stick around and watch it. So I think that's actually really smart.
Yeah.
And AJ Francis re-signing. I was down on him coming in when he first did, and at first when he showed up, I was just like, I just gotta get this guy off my TV. But I gotta admit, he's actually kind of reinvented his career a little bit, and he's done a really good job. And the match he had with Nick Nemeth at the pay-per-view in October was actually really good. And so I expect, like he's done well here. I don't think he's ever gonna be back in WWE. Like, I just don't think he fits there, but he may carve out a nice career for himself on the indie scene. Which, maybe he'll get back. I'm sure his goal is to get back to WWE, but I just don't see it. But I'm perfectly fine watching him in TNA.
Yeah, that match actually happened in December at Final Resolution.
Oh, was it this? Okay, yeah,
Yeah,
there you go.
so
I
much
watch so
stuff.
much wrestling.
I know, I know.
And I did watch it,
Yes,
yeah.
yeah. Let's go through the month in Japan, and a lot of this, of course, New Japan focused. The full card for Wrestle Dynasty announced. Brody King answering an open challenge, so he'll be there. It's part of the AEW contingent. New Japan set to crown new IWGP Tag Team Champions as Sanari got injured, so it's going to be the Young Bucks taking on the Great Okan and a mystery partner. So we'll see what happens there. I think most people assume that the Young Bucks are going to win the titles, and that'll be kind of interesting how that works. We haven't seen them since they ran out the company and took all the papers with them, or shredding whatever, and just ran away. And and months ago on an Impact, working from home, as so many of us do. Double title match was agreed to between Mercedes Moné and Mina Shirakawa, so that'll be coming up for the Women's Strong title, and then for Shirakawa's Rev Pro title. So yeah, titles all over the place. Momo Watanabe qualified as the Stardom participant for the Wrestle Dynasty International Women's Cup match. House of Torture set to challenge for the Ring of Honor Tag Team title. So Dustin Rhodes and Sammy Guevara heading over to Tokyo. A four-way IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Title match would now be called a Tokyo Terror Ladder Match. How about that? And then the King, a title finally went away. The King of Pro Wrestling title, retired by the Great Okan. And then for Wrestle Kingdom, the Rambo match they have is now going to be for a world title shot instead of a King of Pro Wrestling title shot. So how about that? Kenta announced that he was going to be returning to Pro Wrestling Noah for their 25th anniversary celebration. New Japan crowd there. World Tag Team, World Tag League winner Naito and Hiromu Takahashi. Those two guys also set to square off against each other at Wrestle Kingdom. They announced the official match order for Wrestle Kingdom as well. So a busy weekend coming up for New Japan. Templario was replacing Hanare at a Strong Style Evolved event. Zack Sabre Jr. defending the IWGP World Title against Hechicero for Battle in the Valley. Gabe Kidd issued a challenge for that show. Sumi Sakai's retirement match set for that show. Hiromu Takahashi. Teaming with Mayu Iwatani and also Yuka Sakazaki as part of a tag team match there. So that card's starting to fill up for, I think it's either January or February. And I think it's actually January for Battle of the Valley. Could be February. One of those
Yeah,
two.
is it yeah, like around the 12th or 13th,
Yep,
somewhere around there.
sounds about right. Strong Style Evolved happened. Mercedes Moné taking on Hakuzi in a great main event and a match that many assume or may believe is their top women's match of the year. So that came in late. Nice late run for Mercedes Moné in reestablishing who she is in both AEW and abroad. The World Class Wrecking Crew won the Strong Tag Team titles, and the Young Bucks made a surprise appearance. Zack Sabre Jr. won Dave Meltzer's favorite awards, the Tokyo Sports Awards. He loves these awards every year. Ty Mello officially returning at the ring, but not for AEW or Ring of Honor, set to make her Stardom debut in a tag team match. Hiroshi Tenzan off New Japan's Road to Tokyo Dome show due to fever. El Phantasmo, medically cleared after cancer diagnosis, good for him, made his return to the company. And then Davey Boy Smith Jr. lost the All Japan Triple Crown title to Jun Saito. Thoughts about any of that?
Well, you promoted the Wrestle Dynasty card more than AEW has, so kudos for you in like
I'm gonna
the
get
2 minutes there.
my Tony Bucks in the mail finally, right?
Yeah, hey, we're all on the payroll, aren't we? The card, the two cards together look fine. The Bucks thing is interesting. I think that they will probably win and then end up defending against Naito and Hiromu, maybe on that San Jose show. I don't know. Like, I've been told though that apparently the rule is that the IWGP Tag Championships can only be defended in Japan. So maybe the Bucks are gonna go, gonna be there for a while. I don't know, but I guess we'll see what happens on the weekend. That Mercedes and Hazuki main event on Strong Style Evolved was great. I mean, it's the only women's match that I had in my top 30 matches of the year, which I'm actually going to be publishing later this week on Fight Game Media. Of all the wrestling I watched over 3,800 matches this year, believe it or not. And yeah, my top 30, and Mercedes made the top five with that match. So good for her. Not much else there out of that. Again, I did watch the tag league. I watched every single match in it. I thought the highlights for me were the Zack Sabre Jr. and Ryohei Oiwa matches, and they didn't even, I think they were like seventh in their block or something, but the matches were all great. I expect big things, and you didn't mention him at all, but I expect big things for Ryohei Oiwa in 2025. I think that's like a guy to keep your eye on from Japan.
And let's round out the bend with the junk drawer. This is everything else that didn't fit in the categories above. GCW starting to fill out their Hammerstein Ballroom lineup for January. Masato Tanaka taking on Joey Janela. Lots of ECW talents on this show. Yoshihiro Tajiri, of course, Super Crazy, and Little Guido teaming up as part of a trios match at that show. MLW set to make their LA debut in April 2025. LA apparently the place to be for wrestling. Kevin Nash revealed he had a torn biceps and is going to undergo surgery. Penta made a surprise appearance at AAA's TV tapings. Alan Angels had to miss the rest, or announced that he had to miss the remaining dates on his calendar for the year due to a knee injury. The new Dark Side of the Ring got their debut date, and I'm blank. I think it was March, if I remember right, for that
Is
show.
that Dark Side of the Ring or Dark Side of the Cage?
Dark Side of the Ring. Dark Side of the Cage, I
Oh.
believe, debuts this month, being January.
Okay. All right.
Yes. I will be checking that out as well. That I will get in through MMA product. I'll be very interested in seeing some of those stories again. Because I enjoyed the Dark Side of the Ring series, so I think the Cage series will be good too. CMLL confirmed that Tessa Blanchard was gone, and as is the tradition, they just drop tag team titles. They vacate them, a la Stephanie Vaquer. So she vacated the women's tag team titles. Persephone qualified for the CMLL representative for the International Women's Cup. The trailer was released for the Mildred Burke biopic Queen of the Ring. Tony Khan, Nick Khan, several TKO executives recognized by Variety magazine as deal makers. Rey Mysterio Sr., the uncle of Rey Mysterio Jr., passed away. Former NWA World Champion Jax Dane, this is sad, passing away at just 48 years old. Vikingo injured at a Progress event. Very tough year for Vikingo injury-wise. Match was stopped early, and he said he hopes to recover in a few weeks. So we expect to see him in January, but really a lost 2024 in a lot of ways for Vikingo. And then this is a late addition list. Booker T set to wrestle Zilla Fatu at an upcoming Reality of Wrestling event. I think most people assume that Zilla Fatu is under a WWE ID deal, but just haven't announced it yet. But he's after seeing him in person, he's got it. He absolutely has it. I think, there's a lot of chatter on social about him, and that he's destined for WWE, but until you see it in person, it's kind of really hard to, you don't know until you see it in person. I've seen him in person in front of like 400 people, and like he's absolutely got it. And I think he'll be a pretty interesting player for them down the road. But I assume, look, AEW should, if he's not under a deal, AEW should swoop in and get him. I'm sure they probably have tried to make an offer of some sort, but have told no. But I mean, he's got it. So I think a big year ahead for him in 2025. Thoughts about any of that?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about him too because I haven't seen him in person, but I've seen a couple of the shows that he's been on, and every show that he's been on, he stands out like from everyone else. It to me, he reminds me of Jacob Fatu in that sense, that I think as soon as he appears on a WWE screen, like you're not gonna be able to take your eyes off him, and he's like just got the charisma, the look, the athletic ability. He's just got it all. And I think there's some out of the ring stuff that, is maybe been prevent is why he hasn't been on screen yet, similar to Jacob Fatu as well in that sense. But the fact that he's doing these indie shows and obviously wrestling Booker T is a big thing, and that's probably WWE's suggestion. They want to see what he's got. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing him, and I would expect we'll see him in 2025. And if you're listening to this and you want to do a surprise subscri prediction for Brian Alvarez's thing, maybe throw a guess on him, winning a title in WWE in 2025. if you want. Some of the other stuff, yeah, I'm interested in the Dark Side of the Ring coming up again. Like I've kind of watched all those shows as they've gone on, and I don't think they're as good as some of the ones WWE does, in terms of like the production values and everything, but they
Yeah.
do tell stories that WWE doesn't necessarily want told. So I think that show is important in that sense. The two deaths recently were sad, and especially for Jack Zane, that, and this is kind of, maybe I don't know if it's poor taste or whatever to make this joke, but the fact that Dave barely talked about him and then decided to talk
Yeah.
about Rey Mysterio, and poor Jack Zane didn't get his due. But yeah, that was really sad when I heard about it. And like, I was like, when I kind of heard the name and I was like, wait, what? And then I was like, is that the guy that I think it is? And then I actually had to look it up. It's like, oh man, like, yeah, he was so young, 48.
Yeah.
That's yeah, really, really sad. And yeah, other than that, just like, yeah, a bunch of stuff happened, and it's more of the same. Like, the whole wrestling world just kind of continues to kind of splinter away, and you keep hearing GCW pop up and that, and I think they've got like a, they've kind of carved out a little niche for themselves, and as long as they don't try to get too big, and they did that a few years ago with that pay-per-view that I think was a mistake, but
At the Hammerstein, yeah.
yeah, but
Yeah.
just being that, like, they're on Triller, so if you're super hardcore indie fans that want to pay that 7, 8 bucks a month for Triller Plus, you can see all their shows. I watch a, I probably watched a half dozen of their shows this year, and I always enjoy them. It's not for everybody, but if you're a hardcore wrestling fan, it's there. You can watch it, and they get some big names, so it's kind of cool. Just about every show, depending on what market they're in, they hire local legends. In this case, they're getting FBI, and when they go to Atlanta, they'll get like Tommy Rich, or Rock and Roll Express or something like that. They pull in people that are like specific to that area. I think Mike Jackson worked for them,
Yes.
so it's like, yeah, so I for me, like, that's what I get a kick out of. And then you got your regulars, and if I like Effie, I like Matt Cardona, I like all these talents that they have. So but again, I'm a sicko.
And they also do a ton of shows, like 75 shows a year. I mean, it's like
Yeah.
every weekend they're running like two or three shows, it seems, is why they do a lot of shows. That's crazy.
Yeah, and I mean, and like I said, I watched like maybe probably closer to 10, but I miss most of them, but I still feel like I'm caught up with the product, and I follow it obviously through results and everything. So
Well, Paul, we're closing the door on 2024. It is shut, looking ahead at the 2025. And yeah, before we close things up, go ahead and plug where people can see you, hear you, feel you, the Paul Fontaine space. I think maybe we should change your lane name, just Font, like Cab Copa, just go with Font and then go with that in the year ahead. With apologies to Rob Font, of course.
Well, in our on my show, the Dynamite show that I do every Wednesday on the Fight Game Media YouTube channel, 20 minutes after Dynamite ends, I opened the show yesterday. My co-host Jeff Hawkins, and I just said, yeah, it's Font and Hawk here
Yes.
on the Dynamite show.
I like
And Jeff laughed. He wasn't expecting it. So
it.
yeah, you can check that out. And if you don't want to watch our old ugly faces on YouTube, you can check out the free audio feed on the Fight Game Media podcast feed, all your major podcast platforms, Spotify, Downcast, which I love, Apple, obviously. And then I'm also going to be on with Garrett Gonzalez later today. On the Fight Game podcast, filling in for John LaRocca this week. He's got some personal family commitments, so he can't do the show. So yeah, we'll be looking ahead to 2025, giving our wish list for WWE, New Japan, and AEW, and we'll also be previewing Wrestle Dream and Wrestle Kingdom, I should say, and Dynasty, Wrestle Dynasty, and as well, I think, yeah, and then I'm going to be doing year-end stuff on fightgamemedia.com writing. So I'll be doing my top 30 matches of the year and my top 50 wrestlers of the year based on average star rating, which, again, of the 3,800 matches I watched all year, I rated every single one of them.
Wow.
And yeah, so spoiler alert, Will Ospreay's number one, but you
Go.
can see who the rest of the top 50 is. Eddie Kingston did surprisingly well. Believe it or not, I was surprised to see how high up the list he was. So look out for that probably sometime this weekend at fightgamemedia.com.
And he missed a good portion
Yeah.
of the year, too.
Yeah, so I cut off at 10 matches. So he had a really busy January and February, so he just qualified on the minimum matches list. But yeah, I was surprised. But then when I went back and looked, I was like, yeah, you had a lot of really good matches at the beginning of the year. So
Yeah,
good for Eddie. Good for Eddie.
I expect when he comes back, he'll be a big part of the Death Riders angle, which I assume is going to
Yeah.
run for quite a bit. And it's too bad he's not back already, but I think that's a perfect person to insert into that. That'll be a nice foil for and a good baby face to have, which they need, like we just talked about.
Yeah.
And somebody that, yeah, I think that'll be, I think that could be pretty fun when he comes back and gets involved in that.
If he, I mean, I think if he won the world title from John Moxley, like that would be like an all-time moment for AEW, whatever a moment means in 2025. That's another one you can throw in as a prediction on Brian Alvarez's show if you want to.
Sure. Yeah. There are other stories to tell. Cody doesn't have the only story. I think they could do a,
Absolutely.
I think as we close up, I got to get this out because I don't think I said this. I think they could do a pretty cool AEW world title story with Mark Briscoe.
Oh yeah.
He is so beloved and so loved, and he has there's automatic sympathy because he lost his brother. And but he is just such a natural baby face at this and so different and unique. I think, you know, they're going to do something with Jarrett, which I don't think is going to, you know, I think it'll be okay, but it just doesn't fit. Briscoe seems to naturally fit where if you said, we're going to subtly start kind of building this up and then start to make it into something. I think that could be a all-time like great moment for AEW if they were to do that. I don't think they will, but I think if you are looking for a story that feels that I think he'd be a absolute natural for it. Kingston would be a great one as well, but I think if you could build something long with Mark, that would be you build makes a really nasty hated heel champion. That could be like, you know, as Dave would say, blow the freaking roof off the place, you know.
And in relation to Mark Briscoe, another half plug. Occasionally, if you watch slash listen to the Dynamite show, I break into my Mark Briscoe impersonation, and it's been put over by people in AEW, believe it or not.
Oh,
So
look at you. All right.
that's a highlight of my show. Yeah,
All right.
I won't do it here, but
Yeah,
it's yeah, we have a lot of fun, and Jeff, it drives him nuts, but he even puts it over because he thinks it's great. But I'll just randomly do it at some point when the show's fallen off the rails.
like it. Well, Paul Fontaine, thanks so much. I'm glad to be able to catch up in different circumstances, a different game, but happy to do it and happy New Year too. And we'll talk to you more in the year ahead. Paul Fontaine, thanks so much.
You bet. Take care, everybody.
All right, big thanks to Paul Fontaine for stopping by. If you're still here, which I hope you are, I give a thanks to everyone who appeared in the series. Starting in January with Rich Fan of PW Torch, February, Jason Powell of ProWrestling.net, March, Jesse Collings of Voices of Wrestling, April, Warren Hayes of Voices of Wrestling, May, Andrew Thompson of Post Wrestling, in June, Garrett Kidney, July, Jack Farmer, August, Fightful's Kate Elizabeth, September, Davey Portman of Post Wrestling and Poison Rana, kind of fuse those together. October, Denise Salcedo stopped by for the first time. In November, which just went up earlier this week, Rich Kraich of Voice of Wrestling. And then finally, Paul Fontaine of this very website and, of course, Fight Game Media as well. It is a lot of work putting these together, and I hope that is a little bit evergreen if you didn't get to them all. Some of them are a little bit longer, of course. Some are like 2 hours. I think the Andrew Thompson one went 2.5 hours, perhaps. There are some long episodes here, but I think they're all worth it. I would listen to them if I was on the other side of the glass, so to speak. And this has been a lot of fun, a lot of work, but a lot of fun. And hopefully we'll be back in about 10 months or so with the next entry into the series. And yeah, a lot of things could happen, so we'll see. But yeah, you can check them out. They're all for free. If you need have any issues, let me know. But they're linked under this very post on the website with all the links to past shows. You can get them on, again, anywhere. They're all for free. So let me know if you have any issues. So yeah, until next time, which probably be in about 2 weeks, maybe less. Maybe we'll do something different. Insert catchphrase here.